God help us to commence this morning with hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do or whither flee to escape the vengeance due to me? 238.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 15. Reading together from the Word of God, Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 15. We will read down to verse 25. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, be pleased to look down upon this gathering together in thy name, and as we seek to come forth to the throne of grace, pleading that all worthy, meritorious name of thy dearly beloved Son, our acceptance before God the Father and into the holiest of all, be pleased to look down upon us, each one, as we attend upon the worship of thy great and thy holy name, and bring us, Lord, each before thee and at thy feet, in that nature, Lord, which thou dost impart to thy people, the poor, the contrite spirit, that one whom thou wilt look down upon, and who trembleth at thy word. O Lord, we do pray for that humble spirit, Lord, as we are each found before thee, and that thou wilt look down upon each one of us in all our needs, all our concerns at this time. And Lord, thou hast heard the prayers that have been offered up in the pews of thy house. Thou hast, Lord, heard the concerns of each that are gathered here. And Lord, it will be our mercy if we have all come as beggars, suing and pressing before thee and urging our case and need. O Lord, that will be our mercy. O keep us poor, Lord. Keep us humble and lowly before thee, Lord, that all our dependence and all our trust may be found in and upon thee, that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to come and do something for each one of us, Lord. O particularly, Lord, that thou wilt come and speak unto us each the words of this life, a precious Christ in his gospel, and one indeed who we do believe as we have gathered together in thy name. Be pleased to reveal and manifest thyself to each a poor needy soul, Lord. O Lord, we do pray, help us each to wait upon thee, Lord, and to hear what thou wilt speak unto our souls in the days, Lord, of thy servant, young Samuel. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. And thy servant also, a young boy indeed, but speak, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, we do pray that that may be our portion at this time, that thou wilt come and speak to each one of us. And come, Lord, and meet the great needs of our never-dying immortal souls. May we know, Lord, what it is to receive at thy gracious hand a little spiritual nourishment, Lord, for us. Something, Lord, for our poor souls to live upon. Something, Lord, that is in the gospel of Jesus, and something that may be of true purpose to our poor souls the precious Christ revealed in all his offices and characters to meet our deep needs in the gospel. And Lord, it will be a mercy if thou wilt appear, Lord, at this time and gather to thyself, Lord, the prodigals, Lord, the returning prodigals. Lord, the prodigal was returning, not under any power and influence that was in himself, but by and through thy Spirit and grace. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be those this time gathered together, drawn by the influence of thy grace and Spirit, that they might know thee in thy salvation. And we've sung together in our first hymn, oh, that song of repentance, truly, Lord. But, oh, what a ruinous state and condition we are in by nature. But, oh, Lord, not just to sing about it, Lord, but by and through thy Spirit to have it deeply impressed upon our souls that, yes, Lord, is our state and our condition by nature. But, oh, that, Lord, thou wouldest be pleased to draw each poor soul by the cords of thy love to know a precious Christ in his salvation, and who will not deny any who have been brought to see and to feel their need of a Saviour. He will never pass by any seeking soul. And, Lord, we do pray, oh, that there may be this day in these thy courts, Lord, but across this land of ours, in the gatherings together, thy people, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come, and that thou wouldest quicken souls, Lord. Remove all the darkness and the ignorance from heart and mind of men and women, Lord, this day, that have been going to their means of grace for so many years, even as they under, in and out of the doors, as a door upon its hinges, unmoved and unconcerned, Lord, in respect of the need of their never-dying immortal souls. O Lord, be pleased, Lord, that they might know that glorious change, that divine change so needful to the soul. Bring them, Lord, to feel after thee, to feel for that mercy that we have sung together, and a precious Christ be revealed. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to work in thy will and power, perhaps today, Lord, a day of salvation, the day when the gospel is preached, that good work of grace may begin, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for it. Oh, Lord, the gospel is preached. We do live, Lord, in an evil and wicked days here below, Lord, and it's in the hearts and lives of men and women. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt gather, Lord, out of the ruin of this of man some, Lord, whom thou hast elected and chosen to be thy people. O Lord, what a great mercy then, Lord, to know that change and to be drawn to Christ and to know his salvation through the cross is the mercy. We do pray, Lord, dwell with us and be present with us, Lord. We need thy help, Lord, both seeker here in the means of grace and thy servant, Lord. O Lord, divine help, be pleased to look down upon us. May we each be blessed with a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and undertake our cause and interest here below. Help us, Lord, by faith to live upon thee, to serve thee all our days, and to follow thee, Lord, in all that way and path that thou hast ordained for us here below. O Lord, it may be a path, Lord, of trial and affliction and trouble, and yet divinely appointed, Lord. O do, Lord, bear up thy people and help them to continue, and be pleased, Lord, to be with them, and to draw near to their needs as they continue faithful to thy cause, and sanctify thy dealings with them, we pray thee, Lord, as they journey forth. Keep them close to thee, Lord, be pleased to deliver all of thy people from evil, Lord, and to abstain from every appearance of it, Lord, we pray thee. Keep us each faithful to thee, faithful in doctrine, faithful in truth, and faithful as humble walkers before thee, we pray thee. And help us, Lord, to glorify thee upon the earth. Oh, we seek this, Lord, indeed, the glory of thy name. And so, Lord, thanking thee that thou dost set thy people apart to be a people unto thyself, sanctified through grace, but a choice and peculiar people, divinely owned and divinely blessed, divinely wrought upon, and the partakers of divine blessings and promises. And Lord, what a mercy it is to be able to turn aside this day and to come to the means of grace, to leave this world a while, Lord, and to know what it is to be found at thy feet, Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, be pleased to draw near. And Lord, may it be that thou wilt be pleased to leave some token of thine especial love in our poor souls. O Lord, we shall have to have our souls melted that love may enter in. And if our hearts, Lord, are hardened and rebellious, then Lord, come and melt our hearts. May the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, Lord, we pray thee, to bring comfort and peace and joy of the gospel into our poor souls, a precious Christ revealed to us. O Lord, be unto us our all and everything. May we be helped, Lord, to commit, Lord, all that concerns us into thine ever merciful hands, and particularly our worship at this time, that it may be a good time and a profitable time. And pray, Lord, and thanking thee that our treasure is in heaven, not in this world, Lord. Thou hast delivered us from this world, from all its vanity, from all its cares, which our hearts upon one time was all engaged in and upon, that, Lord, it seemed that all that we needed here below the world could offer. But, oh, we thank thee, Lord. Oh, what grace is able to do, Lord, in changing the heart, renewing the will, and turning the feet to Zion's hill is our mercy. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to draw near to us. We do pray, Lord, for each and every one this day are unable to attend the means of grace, and those, Lord, that attend here, Lord, in divine worship, we pray for them, Lord, as they, Lord, those things come in and upon them, Lord, and they're unable to gather together. Be with all the afflicted and all the tried of thy people, the sick and the infirmed. O Lord, be present with them and where they are, Lord. And Lord, we do pray, rule and overrule in all those things that have come upon them. And be pleased, Lord, to use those means to show, Lord, to thy people that they are still in thy hands. But may they be those all things that shall work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose, we pray thee. So come, Lord, just where they are, sanctify, Lord, all these things that have come upon them to them. and may they be able to rest their all into the hands of the Lord Jesus, and to cast all their care upon him, for he careth for us. And so, Lord, we commit them into thy hands. Be with thy servant that shall speak at Arkle Street this day, one just sent out forth into the ministry from Attleboro. O Lord, be present with him, and uphold him, Lord, in the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Give him utterance, Lord, in thy name, and help him to feed the flock of slaughter, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt use him instrumentally in the proclamation of the gospel to the good of souls, to the edifying of thy people. And that, Lord, he may be one indeed, resting in and upon thee, to lead him and to teach him and to guide him. So we commit him, Lord, into thine ever merciful hands. Be pleased, Lord, to pardon and forgive our every sin, yea, the sins of this another day. O Lord, we've only just begun this day, but O Lord, yes, have to confess and repent, Lord, our sins and iniquities, our failings, shortcomings, our poor, wandering hearts and minds, Lord. Oh, do have mercy upon us, Lord. We still bear about with us this body of death. And Lord, it is a great trouble to us. It is our greatest trouble, Lord. Self is our greatest trouble, Lord. Self is our greatest plague, Lord. Oh, do be pleased, Lord, to appear, Lord, the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. May we be helped, Lord, to come and touch but the hem of thy garment, that we might be made whole, Lord. Oh, through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, be our helper, Lord, and help us to resort to thee, Lord, and to the fountain of thy precious blood, for its cleansing, healing virtue, we pray thee. And only thy precious blood, Lord, can remove all the guilt and from our consciences. Be pleased to be with us now, Lord. Help us to worship at thy feet. Show thy servant what to speak in thy name, Lord. Come to his help, Lord, through thy spirit, speak through him. And open the hearts of thy people here, Lord, that they might be helped to hear and to receive thy word mixed with faith to the glory of thy name. And we ask these mercies with the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 134. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Hymn 134.
Oh,
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Seek to draw your attention to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, and we will read from verse 13. Romans chapter 15, reading from verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It is in particular that my thoughts are towards the God of hope, but I may just make mention of further one or two points in the text. In Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, Paul informs us of the awful state and condition that we're in by nature, and the fall that is found within us through our first parents. And it is an awful fall, dear friends. Our first parents transgressed the word of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. They were not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the serpent, in all his subtleness and craft, tempted them, and they fell into that temptation, and they partook of that fruit. And the Lord said to them that the day in which they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. The serpent said they wouldn't die. They did die, dear friends, a spiritual and an eternal death. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden, banished, dear friends, from the presence of the Lord God. And that is the solemn truth that belongs to each one of us, that we bear with us an Adam nature by our very birth into this world. And it is a nature that is estranged from God, a nature that is at enmity with God. And we hold a nature full of sin, evil and wickedness, in which God cannot look upon any sin with any degree of allowance. But as clearly stated, that the wages of sin is death. It does bring a corporeal death, but a spiritual and eternal death, dear friends, are the important truths. That is where our state and condition by nature has left us, in the Adam nature. There was mercy in the sixth chapter, dear friends, where Christ appeared, quickened together with Christ, saved and redeemed, and set apart, that they should no longer indulge in sin and lust after sin, is the great mercy. In chapter 8, we read of the blessing and the truth, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then that 8th chapter closes with the glorious truth that no one will be able to sever God's people from his love. And that love is in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Dear friends, to know God's love through the person of his dearly beloved Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a mercy it is to come into the blessing of that love, dear friends of our God. Coming to this 15th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, is coming now to the concluding part of his epistle. And he seeks and desires that the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And that is true, dear friends. The weaker, those in weaker faith, dear friends, let us not despise it. Let us not talk about it. Let us be their helper. Bear their infirmities. And we do not please ourselves in respect of this. In verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbour, not ourselves, just as Jesus. For even Christ pleased not himself. Let us follow in the footsteps of Jesus, dear friends. Let us bear each other's infirmities. Support each other. In verse 7 there is a wonderful truth. Let us take knowledge of it. Wherefore, receive ye one another. And why should that be, dear friends? Christ received us. He received us, dear friends, and look where we were. In sin's pollution, and he received us. Yes, I know that the graces of the Spirit worked in and upon us, Father, Son, and Spirit, but he received us. Let us receive one another, dear friends. This is the whole of the gospel, really. It's a gospel of union and fellowship. It's a gospel of good news to sinners. It's a gospel that holds, dear friends, mercy and goodness to us each. And we're the partakers of it every day. Let us then receive one another as we receive blessings, mercy and goodness from our God through Jesus day by day. In his mercy, he has brought us to another day. We're all in his hands, dear friends. I believe that in our text, now the God of hope. Just want to speak a little of this God of hope, dear friends. You've just sung together. Now first hymns, first and second hymn. Those things, dear friends, whereby sin, to one that has been enlightened and one that has been shown their sinnership, one whose heart the Lord has opened, and where Father, Son, and Spirit has been engaged in the salvation of the soul, the good work of grace begun. But both the hymns indicate just where we were by nature, and we cannot come ourselves, dear friends, unless sin is revealed and disclosed to our hearts. We will go on and on and on in sin. It has to be disclosed. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Sin must be revealed. And I believe that in mentioning now the God of hope, it is referred in the previous verse. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. It is often in Scripture, more so in the Gospel, but yes, also in the Old Testament, that that word trust means hope. And so it does in this instance. And you know, the gospel was preached to the Gentile nations. If we just go to that verse that is spoken of, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. We have here, dear friends, the only blessing that can come to any sin-polluted sinner. And I begin with sin, dear friends, because that is the biggest plague that has come upon us. And the end of it, dear friends, is eternal damnation forever. And so, the God of hope, now the God of hope. And it is in this word here which stand for an ensign of the people. This is that root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son. And this ensign is the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all that Jesus came to do, sent of his heavenly Father into this world here below. The eternal Son of God became man, dear friends, a real man. It was a condescension, dear friends. He left his glory with his Father, laid it aside to come to work out salvation according to the covenant of grace for his heavenly Father, because his heavenly Father gave to him and into his hands a people whom he loved, and he loved them eternally, but they must be saved, must be gathered, must be redeemed again to God the Father and his dearly beloved Son undertook the cause and the interest of everyone whom his heavenly Father gave for him. And he humbled himself, dear friends, to come to this sin-cursed world. And it was one, dear friends, came in our nature. It had to be in our nature, body and soul together, because that was the wretchedness of our lives, body and soul together. And dear friends, everything that concerned us in respect of sin and all the evil of our hearts by nature had to be completely put away. And it is only Jesus, through his finished work at Calvary, produced such a glorious atonement and sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people. It was a sacrifice that gave full appeasement to divine justice, to the curse of a broken law. Remember, the law was broken in the beginning, and we're all born, dear friends, with that broken law in us. All the sin that is in us, he transgressed, and that transgression is in us by nature. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust or have hope. Now the God of hope. This hope, dear friends, is something that has the most sure and certain foundation. It's a hope, dear friends, will wait upon the Lord. It's a hope through the blood and righteousness of Jesus. The hope is through him, his finished work. The hope that is held out for our never dying immortal souls. In him shall the Gentiles trust or hope. And it's now this God of hope, dear friends, that is the blessing in the person of his dearly beloved Son. And this hope, you know, we will be drawn as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will reveal and manifest our sin. We'll be drawn by a faith in the person of Jesus. But hope is the expectation of faith. Hope is the expectation. If now thy soul is fixed by faith upon Christ as that way and means of mercy for thy soul, then hope, dear friends, will be the expectation. It will never trouble thee and burden thee with sin, dear friends, unless he's going to come to a glorious end and a purpose and perfect his work. And he gives this grace to support thy soul. It's a foundation, and it's a sure laid foundation, this hope. It isn't something that's centered upon something transient and passing. It's something that is of substance and reality, because it leaves thee with thy only hope in Jesus for salvation. The foundation of it, dear friends, is sure. In hymn 83, it's a hymn of hope. The gospel bears my spirit up, a faithful and unchanging God. This is what hope is fixed in, dear friends. An unchanging God. A God immutable in respect of all his word and his promises to his people. He will never fail, dear friends. All that he has given to his people and all that he has spoken to them in words and promises, he will not fail. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. There is the hope, dear friends. It is in Jesus for all thy sins and iniquities. And what a mercy it is for the Spirit of the Lord to reveal and to show to us our great need as sinners. And you know, when the Lord began with me, I had no concerns for my soul. There was no need of this salvation. I was going on careless and indifferent in my life, unconcerned about my soul. And it's the most important part of us. But when the Lord came, dear friends, it was in his providence. And circumstances in my life that hardened my heart, made me absolutely rebellious. But the Lord took those circumstances and he broke up my spirit. And I was brought to know and to feel the awful rebellings of my heart. And he revealed and manifested sin. I was rendered guilty. But dear friends, I believe he gave me a hope. There was a hope at the throne of grace because I believe that my prayers before this time, they had such a formality with them. Much in the head knowledge. And dear friends, the Lord weaned it all away, brought me to nothing. And I had a hope, dear friends, at the throne of grace, of this truth here now, the God of hope. And my prayer was continually the publican's prayer. His trouble was the burden of sin. And he took that burden to the throne of grace. And dear friends, his hope must have been there. There was no other hope for his poor soul, dear friends. There was no other hope for mine. But dear friends, became a prisoner of hope. Why, dear friends, are you a prisoner of hope? You see, is Jesus and his gospel thy only hope? My only hope? Thy only hope? And to become a prisoner of hope is a great mercy. A prisoner is someone that's held captive, bound up, you see. And sin will bind you up. It will hold you. It will burden the soul. And we're brought to see that we are captives, not only to Satan, dear friends, but to sin itself. And what a mercy it is to become a prisoner of hope. And just think of another hymn, dear friends, that 585. And it's the mercy that is with Jesus. Hymn number 585. And the last verse, 5. Here sinners may draw near with all their guilt and with all their sin and guilt, nor death nor danger fear, since Jesus' blood was spilled. A door of hope is open wide, and Jesus' bleeding hands and side. Dear friends, a door of hope in Jesus, isn't there? It's in his cross. It's in the life that he gave. It's in the precious blood that he shed. You see, the door of hope. And this wonderful door of hope was the greatest blessing from the God of hope, dear friends. And he is the God of hope. And it's seen in the person of his dearly beloved Son. And then, dear friends, to know the sweetness and the blessedness of our peace and pardon through his blood. This is all the trust of a poor sinner. No other hope, dear friends. I just go to Ephesians chapter 1. Word seems to just come to my mind that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That was Paul and those with him. They all trusted in him for salvation. And then, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wonderful truth that, dear friends, and the word trusted in the margin reads, hoped. Dear friends, there is no other hope but in Jesus. No other hope but in and through his cross at Calvary for sinners is the great mercy and the blessing. And he is the God of hope. Our God is the God of hope. He made such a wonderful provision, dear friends, when our first parents fell, and he saw that all his seed would fall after him, born in sin. But, oh, where was the hope and where was the mercy? The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And Jesus came. Now, dear friends, to find this truth here, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Any poor seeking souls this day, this is the only hope. A believing faith in Jesus and an expectation, dear friends, following that faith in that mercy would come. You see, it's a hope and it's a lively hope. It's a hope that's settled in the immutability of God and his promises to his people. It's a hope, dear friends, that will never fail. It will bring thee, dear friends, into the blessedness of this salvation that is provided by our God for sinners in Jesus. And then, dear friends, to know the sweetness of peace and pardon, remember that Jesus has bidden thy soul, if it is burdened and tried in respect of sin, and I do pray that it may be the case of those that have come seeking today, that this, dear friends, is the first blessing that they seek for. Pardon of sin, guilt removed, set free, the prisoner set free, given liberty in the gospel. And it's a gospel of hope, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae. The gospel, it is the hope that is in the gospel. And so, dear friends, this is the blessing and the mercy. And to be gathered into the company of saints is the wonderful truth, because Jesus came to redeem his people again unto God the Father. And then he will become the God of hope thereafter, because we shall always need him, dear friends. Always need him. I need him today. Those things that concern me and his hope for my poor soul is in the immutability of his word and his promises to me. What he has spoken to me. And I wait upon him in respect of his word. And I know that it will appear. And therefore my hope is waiting, trusting in his word. And he is the God of hope, dear friends, because I know that he is a faithful God. He's never failed in his word. He's never failed, dear friends, in respect of the salvation of his people. Every one of them will be gathered into to the end of time. Everyone whom he gave to Jesus before time began will be gathered in. And is this thy hope this morning, to be one of those? He is faithful. Now the God of hope. And I may just make mention the further truth, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Dear friends, you will have no joy and peace in your soul, unless believing, a believing faith in Jesus and his finished work. Dear friends, let thy hope expect. Wait upon the Lord for his mercy. He is the one thing needful. And this joy and peace, dear friends, it passes all our understanding. The joy of salvation. The Philippian jailer went on his way rejoicing. The salvation that he found. What it was to be set free. What it was to be enjoined into the company of saints. What it was to speak well of that all-glorious name of Jesus. What a joy to his spirit. Joy in believing. There is no greater joy, dear friends. No. I believe it was for 3 weeks following my salvation, dear friends, when the Lord appeared to me and put away all my sin. Seemed, dear friends, for 3 weeks. I was in the day of espousals for 3 weeks, as it were. What a mercy. Now the God of hope, dear friends, we shall need him continually to be the God of our hope in the times of all our needs and concerns here below. Yes, the Lord, dear people, will not be a comfortable path for the Lord's dear people. But the wonderful truth is that we have someone to go to. There's always a hope, dear friends, in the Lord, in the blessedness of his person. We can go to him in respect of his offices and characters, with all our concerns and needs and troubles. Jeremiah was able to say, "Oh, the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof, in time of trouble." There was no other hope for him in the time of trouble. And it was a time of trouble. Leading up to the captivity of the children of Israel. And Jeremiah, seeking that deliverance for himself. Dear friends, there is no other hope but in Jesus. In the time of our trouble, in the time of our need, whatever it might be. Young and old together. That Jesus is our only help in the time of trouble, and he has promised it. You see, this is what our hope rests in and upon. Call unto me in the day of trouble. Dear friends, he is that only one, and he is a refuge and a help in the day of trouble. And he is that only one that can help us. It's divine help. And it will succor and strengthen the soul in the time of trouble and need, whatever our troubles might be, whatever our distresses might be. He's the only one that can succor and strengthen us. He supports his people. It doesn't mean to say that he will give a deliverance immediately. No. We can plead his promises. We can plead what he has spoken to us. I just think of poor Jacob returning to the land of his fathers, and Esau before him with his little army. And poor Jacob, in all his weakness and insufficiency, his helplessness, but he could plead what the Lord had spoken to him. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." He said, "Return unto the land of thine inheritance, to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." And now he is pleading the promise. Dear friends, he is a God of hope in respect of his promises, because He will never fail, never let down his people, and we can plead his promises, what he has spoken to us. And it is a hope, dear friends. Our hope rests and trusts in his word and promises. That he will appear for his people. And we know that the Lord did appear for Jacob in his trouble. And it was a great trouble, dear friends. But it is only the Lord that can bring him through. And we know how the Lord appeared and changed the very nature of his brother Esau. And you see, our hope is, dear friends, that he is a God of impossibilities. Oh, he is, dear friends, a God of impossibilities. Is there anything that he cannot do for his people? Our hope must be fixed in that, dear friends, in respect of all those things that concern us. And when speaking of a God of impossibilities, I just go to a wonderful word, dear friends. Those things that may have seemed to naturally show to us an impossibility. I just go to the 4th of Romans, I think it is. And it's a wonderful truth. Speaking of Abraham and his wife Sarah, the Lord had given them a promise that there should be a son come forth through his loins. Sarah was well beyond the age of bearing, and Abraham now nigh 100 years old. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, dear friends, he wasn't weak in faith, but this hope was the expectation of faith. And he trusted in his God. He knew that he was able to do it, dear friends. And is there any difficulties? Is there anything in thy way and path, that, dear friends, that seems, dear friends, to be a stumbling block, to block thy way up, seems to be a mountain before thee, and to get over it? Well, the Lord is able to remove all these things. Is there anything too hard for him? No. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above. Who against hope believed in hope. And this God, dear friends, is the God of hope, our God today. And he is the God, dear friends, that will keep and sustain his people. He will come to all their help and to all their need. I just go to another thought in Psalm 42. I believe it was a psalm at the time when his son Absalom had come as a usurper, took his father's throne, and David was again in the wilderness. And he was troubled and burdened. He was set apart again from that true worship of God, to partake of the ordinances of the Lord's house. But in Psalm 42, He was brought to remember those things. I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And he was brought to remember those things as he was found in the wilderness again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Dear friends, he wasn't without his God in all his trouble and all the affliction that came upon him. No, he could still come to his God. His hope was fixed, dear friends. He'd remembered the ordinances of the Lord's house, the worship of the Lord, the praises, dear friends, and the worship. And then he asked a question, he questions his own soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And dear friends, whatever it is with thee, we've got this blessing and this truth that our God is our helper, and he has promised help, and he will give help, and he will come to the case and the need of his people. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And dear friends, if anything that cometh into our path to disturb us, dear friends, and to bring us, you see, into time and seasons of affliction and trouble, hope thou in God. Because he has promised his help, he will give his help. He will come to it. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, one chosen from among the people, even Jesus. But then, dear friends, as we journey on, what is the blessing that doth belong to us really and truly? What is the mercy that we look for? We need him in all our life here below. We need the Lord every day in our circumstances, in our needs, in our lives, in our schooling, in our workplace, and whatever may arise, dear friends, and be a trouble and a burden to thee. This is thy hope, dear friends, the God of hope, the God who is able to do great things, but the God who has given such a hope as this. And it's a real grace of the Spirit, dear friends, and it's laid upon a sure foundation. It's through the blood and righteousness of Jesus. But we're journeying forth. Are we journeying forth with the hope of eternal life? Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. As I say, dear friends, our hope is fixed upon the promises of our God. I just turn to another truth, dear friends, that for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Believed, trusted, or hoped in is the same word. Have we entrusted our poor souls into the hands of the dear Redeemer? Paul didn't know, dear friends, that time when he would be taken from this earthly scene. And we do not know, dear friends, but have you committed your soul into the ever merciful hands of the Lord Jesus? He is able to keep that which you have committed unto him. We do not know how the Lord will be pleased to remove us from this earthly scene. But have we got a hope of eternal life? In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Father, Son, and Spirit, this eternal life is in the covenant of grace, dear friends. And David, oh, his hope was fixed in that, dear friends, when he came to the end of his days. Oh, though my heart be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, though he make it not to grow. Dear friends, this was his hope, wasn't it? Yes, David had many failings and shortcomings in his life, but his hope hung, dear friends, upon the covenant of God's grace. And it's an everlasting covenant, and it's ordered in all things and sure. Jesus is the surety of it. He is our covenantee. This is our hope. And so we can look, dear friend, and have a hope of eternal life, because it has been promised to his people. How often this past week, dear friends, have you been brought to contemplate eternal life? Because it comes through the gospel and salvation of Jesus. It's salvation to the uttermost, everlasting life. But how often has your heart, or perhaps in our prayers, has the Lord shown to us the blessing and the promise of this eternal life? Has it comforted thy soul? Has it brought thee near to Jesus to be able to know and to say within thy poor soul, it will be well with me? Eternal life. It is good for us to contemplate it, dear friends. I go to prepare a place for you. And if the Lord has made such a promise as that, let our poor souls dwell upon it as oft as the Spirit of the Lord will be pleased to come upon us and to remind us that the end, dear friends, is the best. The end is the glory of Christ's finished work. The glory of God the Father. Our time has gone. I just close with this truth. I think I spoke somewhat, just mentioned somewhat at Studley or Blunsdon last week. I just cannot remember which chapel it was actually. But dear friends, we shall come to the grave unless the Lord come first. We have a hope there, dear friends, the expectation of the Lord. It's by faith, but dear friends, hope expects that the Lord is coming again. Glorious truth. But David was able to say, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Dear friends, I shall not be moved. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I think of this, dear friends, and I have to speak of it. Those everlasting arms are always beneath his people, always, never removed. From the time of their birth and the time of their unregeneracy, the everlasting arms are beneath his dear people. It must be so. Everyone that had been promised to Jesus to save and to redeem, it will bear them up. But dear friends, the time appointed will come when it will be pleased to take us from this earthly scene. That will be the day, dear friends, divinely appointed, when his name shall be highly glorified, because entering into the coffin, dear friends, is a poor soul that has been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus will bear that body in that coffin. Make no mistake about it. It will be gently placed in the coffin. The dear Redeemer's arms, their everlasting arms, think of it. They will never be removed from the Lord's dear people. They will be placed in that coffin. They will be watched over until the day that he will come and raise them up again. Still the everlasting arms beneath, and they shall then forever be with the Lord. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This is the hope that we have, dear friend. The God of hope has given us all these things through Jesus. May the Lord use these poor remarks to the glory of his name. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £726.40, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ince is expected to address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.